Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Home Barista Podcast for home baristas with me, your host Sean, aka the Drummond Barista. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Coffee Break here on the Home Barista Podcast for home baristas. Today's coffee break is going to be slightly longer as I'm joined by Paul Fletcher, who is one of the general managers of Common Good Coffee here in New Zealand. Common Good Coffee have a special place in my heart as I love their story and wanted to bring Paul on for this episode of Coffee Break to do a deep dive into the story of Common Good Coffee, which is 3 times as good as regular coffee, and their partners Joya in India. During the section where we talk about Joya, Paul touches on topics of human and sex trafficking in India, as this is one of the main sectors that Joya is making a difference within that region. I wanted to make you aware of this as the listener, as I know for some this is a hard topic, as it has or could have directly affected you or people you know. If this is the case, I encourage you to reach out to the correct professional person who will be able to sit and talk with you around these issues in greater detail. Now, make sure you have a beautiful cup of coffee in hand and let's jump straight into it. Alrighty, so hi Paul, thank you so much for coming on and being my guest for this episode of Coffee Break. Super stoked that you could join me here today and talk about Common Good Coffee and Joya. But first of all, let's jump straight into how your week's been. What have you been up to this week, bro?
No, kia ora Sean, so good to be here, man. You're probably going to need Google Translate for this interview, to be perfectly honest. 20 years in the country and I still sound like I'm fresh off the boat. My week, as I was just mentioning a wee bit before, I've just got back from climbing Mount Taranaki yesterday, so yep. I'm just death warmed up, mate. I feel awful. It was a horrible, horrible walk. I took Common Good Coffee, the better blend, with me in a flask, thinking I'll feel better. Didn't feel better.
Oh, really?
It's not good advertising. Oh, no. The whiskey helped at the end, mate.
Did it now?
So my week has been, it's been a week of... climbing the Maunga.
Yeah.
But good week, bro.
Epic.
Nice to be on with you today.
Yeah, cool, man. I love that, bro. Well, look, as I've already said, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate your time. Now, I wanted to get you on to talk about Common Good Coffee and, of course, talk about Joya at the same time. But let's begin by doing a bit of a deep dive into the story of Common Good Coffee. And I would love for you to tell me and the listeners, of course, of this podcast, when it started, where it came from, and the story behind it as well.
I know that, great. No, I'll try and keep it to a nutshell. Common Good Coffee's been going for just over a year. It was a bunch of us friends that have been in hospital for a long time. So the guys that run Crave Cafe and Kind Cafe up in Auckland, big social enterprise cafe up there. That guys who have been involved in social enterprise stuff and coffee stuff for quite a while. The guys in Addington Coffee Co-op in Christchurch, so massive.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys.
Grocery. Yeah. Legends, man. Just humble, far too humble.
So humble. Those guys.
They've been doing stuff, local community-based stuff for years, and had a roastery that was Jailbreaker Roastery, formerly. Donated $2 million to local and overseas stuff for the money they made in the 8 or 9 years that they've existed, so amazing crew.
Yeah.
And then there was me and my wife that have been involved with the Auckland guys quite a bit, and we've been friends for a long time, involved in the hospital for a long, long time, and we just thought, you know, let's join together. We're all about the local, we're all about the global stuff. We've got a real involvement with stuff in Kolkata, India.
Cool.
Where there's kind of extreme poverty and human trafficking, it's pretty life in neighbourhoods we're involved in. But let's create a brand, make a shitload of money if we can.
I love it.
And then redistribute the money we make while still being a competitive coffee brand, but redistribute the money to doing good in the world, especially when it's most needed. So we kicked that off just over a year ago. And we've donated about $85,000 since we kicked off, which is no small feat.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And obviously that doesn't include the fair trade organic stuff we do as well, you know. So, you know, it's been a hell of a journey, bro. We kicked off, I think when we started, COVID was just a rumor.
Yeah.
Or it just kicked in, really.
Yeah.
And when we actually launched, it pretty much was hitting pretty hard. So it's been a heck of a challenge. But so to get back to what Common Good Coffee is, it's basically we just want to do like specialty coffee, but with the bit of money that we make, redistribute that to good stuff we're involved in.
Amazing.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, bro. That makes perfect sense, and that's super clear as well. And I think one of the main points that I really wanted to touch on in this is the fact of that's plastered everywhere, right? And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about Common Good is that from the moment you pick up a bag of coffee to the moment that you walk into any of the cafes that you guys have, or the cafes that use the coffee that you guys do, that's the first thing you see, is just like everything is put back into what you guys are trying to do, and like the mandate behind it, the story behind it as well. So yeah, it's so clear, and I love the way that you put it, and it's just such a beautiful story, and such a beautiful thing as well, to just bring everybody who is a customer of the cafes and a customer of Common Good, even if they don't live near one of the cafes, it just to bring them along on the journey of that, and the journey the journey of what Common Good's doing too, which is just such a beautiful thing. And I think on a personal level from my side, that's one of the reasons why I suppose I fell in love with you guys, is just because the story of it is so...
You're wearing the shirt, aren't you, mate?
I am wearing the shirt. I'll show it to the guys in the video. Look at this.
Our money goes overseas.
Come on now.
You're good, mate.
Repping the merch there. Repping the merch. I love that. For me, just on like a personal level, that was one of the reasons why I just fell in love with you guys straight away, is because I understood what you were trying to do from the moment that I found out about you guys, and the moment that you actually came into my DMs on Instagram. You slid in there nice and easy.
Yeah, who's this guy? And like, to be honest, man, that it's been really good having kind of guys like yourself who are next level with coffee, who are into us. Because I think one of the challenges that you have when you seem like, I mean, we're not a charity, we're a social enterprise, right? We're for profit. But the challenge you have, as soon as you seem like you're some sort of charitable model, people instantly go, oh, the product must be crap.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're always having to fight that. Yeah, our main focus is doing more good in the world. But actually, our product's good, but we haven't to battle that kind of inbuilt thing, particularly among cafes, like, oh, maybe the product's not going to be that good. So having, like, you know, people like yourself and others kind of mentioning that actually this is good stuff is super helpful.
That's up. And it's actually kind of really cool that you touched on that, because that was one of the things that just came into my mind there, on the side of how you said that you don't want to be seen as like a charity. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that you're getting used to doing now, is actually reaching out to like a couple more people, and actually just being like, hey, we've got a product that we personally feel is really good, and we can also back that up with lots of reviews, years of experience of being in the industry, and also just years of experience of roasting. So for the listeners who aren't aware, the roaster, I suppose, is a really cool guy that is called Vernon, or V for short, as he likes to call himself. Just a really, like you say, just really humble. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about all of you guys on terms of Common Good.
Well, I'm not humble, mate. I'm trying to balance them out, mate. They're all bloody humble. It's killing me. It's like, oh, come on, guys.
They're probably, they're probably just a little bit too humble. But then I also love that, because it's so approachable and accessible. But that's what I love about Vernon, is that he just loves coffee, and he loves what he does, and he loves the impact that he can bring. And I also love as well, because I sat down with him one of the many times that I've been into Addington, and I sat down with him. We had a really good chat about some stuff, and he was just like, look, on Monday, Wednesday and Fridays, I think he said that's when he does some roasting, or that's when he's looking after the beans. But Tuesday and Thursdays, I think it was, he said that he actually jumps away from the roaster and jumps right behind the bar. And I'm like, you work as a barista as well. I'm like, this is amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Humble after.
So good, yeah, man. Honestly. Good. You've touched on and you've mentioned that you are one of the general managers of the Common Good movement. And of course, mm-hmm. in light of what is happening throughout the world, COVID and all that crazy stuff and all the recent events, I'd love to touch on, because I know there's a couple of people that will be listening to this as well who are currently working as sales reps or are currently working as like a general manager. I'd love to touch on that and get your personal thoughts from it. You can be as open as you want, because I know you're going to be, which is amazing. Be as open as you want, be as real and raw as you want. But yeah, so what is it like?
The worst time to be a salesman is basically it.
Exactly.
Horrible.
But in light of everything that's going on, especially COVID and over here in New Zealand, the drop, I suppose, that we are seeing within people that are like walking into cafes, walking into hospitality venues, how has that been for you on a personal level and also on a professional level for Common Good?
It's a big question, mate. No. Alec, particularly this year, now that Omicron has finally hit. I feel like we've been waiting for
this thing to
properly.
Yeah.
And it's finally hit, and I think this is probably going to be the hardest year for hospo, at least the first half of the year. And definitely the cafes are feeling that. It's different. There's not the same kind of support in place. So it's a difficult season. Volumes right down. However, the good thing about involved with Joya overseas is just realizing how bloody lucky we are.
Yeah.
But that said, it's a tough time. So, but I'm kind of the kind of guy that goes, look, if we can ride this out, we can ride anything out. And it also forces you to think creatively. You're either flexible or you snap.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, what's
such a good point?
What's some other angles? What's some experiments we can have with trying with different sales avenues or channels or whatever. We've probably focused a lot, in all honesty, on offices. A lot of offices, especially in the cities, they've got mean setups, bro.
I know.
They've got their Mocha Masters. They've got their freaking nice 2-3 group machines. Yeah. They're wanting highbrow coffee.
Yeah.
So we've won quite a lot of accounts off of really good coffee companies in those spaces because the story's good.
Wow.
So in those offices, particularly up until this year, they weren't feeling the pinch that hospo probably was. Although now, obviously offices are down with working from home. But again, just keep on going, pick up some accounts and we're picking up more accounts and the volume will eventually kick back in and I'll be back to smiling again.
And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. We want to see you smiling. We want to see you out there doing it.
You have to be creative, and you have to be a hustler. I think this is a season. If you're not a hustler and you're not willing to be ballsy and go in, or gutsy, sorry, and go into places, I think I was thinking about that question. Like I've never done sales before. It turns out I'm quite good at it, but I've never done sales before, and I personally couldn't do sales if it wasn't a product I believed in, particularly in this season.
Yeah.
I feel for the guys that are doing sales that have a product they're not that passionate about. Cause it's just, I think there's change paralysis within a lot of offices or cafes. Yeah. Like everyone's so overloaded with the pressure of life at the moment, that the thought of doing another change, it's just too much. So there's this change. So you've got an extra layer of difficulty. So to not have a product you believe in and are passionate about, or getting paid a crap load of money to get in there, which I'm not, right? If you've not got a product you believe in, it's going to be so hard, because people, they know if you're being authentic or not. And if I'm just pushing sales because it's my job rather than sales because it's a product that I love, I couldn't do it.
Wow.
Which is probably not what you want to hear.
No, but look, that is exactly what we want to hear, right? Because, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Through me talking from personal experience of people I know within cafes and hospo industries at the moment, if they are wanting change, they're wanting change, like you say, to a company that is actually going to be something that they personally can feel like they're a part of, and they've got a relationship with. And I actually think me and you me and you spoke about this the first time that we met up when you came down to Christchurch. We were just talking about lots of different things. And it's like, it's crazy how at the moment, the main aspect that's going to get so many people across the line at the moment is having a personal relationship with the person that you're working with and the company that you're working with as well. And I think that's one of the main things. And you actually said it beautifully there. It's just like people want to buy into something that they know the person they're buying from is passionate about and is actually wanting to sell it, because there's nothing worse than talking to somebody who, like you said, is just talking to you for the fact they want to make some big bucks, you know? And that's not how it's going to happen.
There's that. And then there's also, or it's just unbelievably cheap.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
Like, and I've got to say, man, I've met quite a number of cafes that I've changed over, because the coffee company came and they gave them such a cheap deal. But I kind of go, man, that's not sustainable. Mm. Like, some of the prices out there, I'm just like, it must be a loss leader.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
It's crazy. So there's those two things. Either you're buying the cheapest beans, or maybe it's a coffee company that's owned by a brewery or something overseas. You know, that's a lot, aren't they? Or it's a product. Mm. You're part of a story you believe in. And I think a lot of people want that. So
yeah. Totally. Just give us a couple of words of advice, I suppose, for the sales reps at the moment that are currently struggling, you know, that are out there.
I've thought about this long and hard, bro, and so this is my pearl of wisdom. Stop selling your coffee like Common Good Cake over the market. No, dang. I'm joking.
There you go.
I'm not gonna give, like, there's some things that are working for us. I'm not gonna give. You know, we're new, man. No. We're battling. Yeah. But what I will say is you've got to celebrate your small wins.
Mm.
And if you win an account, you know that once the season ends, the volume will go up.
Yeah.
And you'll see the results. So I think celebrate your small. I don't think we're good in Kiwi culture at celebrating our little wins.
Yeah.
Like, we don't take time to just go, won that account. I'll probably just come back to my thing about authenticity. I'm sorry if you're part of a cool, great company, like, you know, Flight, for example, whoever, that just you're proud of that company and stuff, then it's you're authentic. You've got to be authentic. And so as long as you're passionate, people will pick up on that passion and they'll listen to your Corey Rowe.
I agree.
So don't I think that'd be my thing, is something around authenticity, but also just celebrating your small wins, and just not being too harsh on yourself in this season is important. Mm. It's a tough season to get some sales wins, but thinking outside the box, getting advice, asking lots of people how they're doing it.
Yeah,
I just think, like, I'm always asking people, what's some thoughts, or how do you leverage networks or other relationships? Mm. You know, all those bits and pieces. I don't know if that's helpful.
That's so helpful. Yeah. 100% helpful. Of course it's going to be, because there's going to be people out there that are sitting, listening to this currently now and thinking about that, right? And having that experience where they're like, oh man, I'm just really struggling with this sale, really struggling with this lead. I don't know how to get it across the line. So that's why I wanted to ask you the question, because I know you've been out and about recently doing that. You know, you've been visiting people and you've just been trying to sell the story of the company and actually make people aware of the brand at the same time, which is one of the very key things at the moment, just selling that brand, selling that story to people. And
and I think, like, actually, Brad, something I would say as well is something I've been doing for our crew, and we've got a kind of growing crew that's doing sales around the country now. But I've been getting in outside voices to come and speak to us over on Zoom for about an hour. So we had Al Keating.
Really? Cool.
To ask some questions out there. We had Mark Powell, used to be the CEO of the Warehouse Group.
Mm-hmm.
We had Matt Morrison from Allgood. Yep. So, like, getting 27 Seconds Wine, all stuff like that. So we had these people on and we were just asking. And something that came up with, particularly with Al, actually, when he was talking about coffee, is a lot of this stuff, you're playing the long game.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a long game.
It is.
It's not a far, you know, you're relationship building and trust and you just can't. I'm always about, like, quick wins.
Yeah.
But a lot of this stuff isn't, particularly with cafes.
Yeah.
Cafes are a different beast. you don't get quick wins. So, yeah, playing the long
game. Epic.
Redoing your expectations.
Mm. Amazing. So good, man. Hey, look, let's jump onto the other side of Common Good Coffee. For me, on a personal level, I've been really excited to ask this question because I of course, have been reading about Joya. I've been researching it just a little bit, just trying to understand it as well, just a little bit more. But I'd love to hear from the mouth of yourself and from like the heart of it too, the ethos behind Joya, where it came from, the reasons why you guys do what you do with Joya, what it stands for, what it does for the people, where it is at the same time. So like, yeah, I'd love for you to just tell us all about it. Just have free rein, talk as long as you want, because it's a beautiful, it's a very beautiful thing. And I know that there'll be so many people listening who won't particularly know about this side of it. So I think this would be a really great opportunity to get that story out there. So yeah, man.
Okay, no, cool. It'd be worth getting Age, who's our other GM in the South, because that's been his world for the last 10 years. Cool. But so Joya, it originally started, it was Freeset, which, I don't know, must be 10 plus years now, bro. It originally started with a crew kind of relocating and getting involved in probably one of the largest red light districts in Kolkata. So a place where there's just majorly impacted by, you know, human trafficking or generational, just that kind of sex trade stuff. It's just, there's no other option, you know? So there's about, in one area, bro, next to where the Joya factory is, about 10,000 women serviced by about 20,000 men a day. You know, it's full noise, bruv.
Wow.
And so I think there was a thing that's begun where it was like what a lot of people need is just options. Like the option of a different job.
Yeah.
Some trauma counselling support, all that bits and pieces. So it birthed from that point way back in the day to what it is now, which has been a rebrand to Joya. And so, you know, it's probably like 200 women, some men as well probably, but employed. So make t-shirts and there's a whole bit of like wristband factory, whatever. There's all those bits and pieces, and a lot of it sells in New Zealand, Australia. But it's also, it's about kicks. So there's three arms to Joya, basically. There's like, there's a business arm, which is about businesses that kind of offer options, but that are kind of wraparound support. There's a social arm to Joya, which is around, which is, you know, it's come out over the years, that it partnering with other organizations around things like medical support, counseling, helping with housing, low interest or no interest loans, all those bits and pieces. And then there's a neighborhood arm, which is around, like, you know, a lot of the kids in some of the slum areas and stuff, nothing to do, so they actually just need like youth groups or maybe some schooling or helping kickstart with, like, you know, all those bits and pieces. So that's Joya. It's a whole other beast, and it probably supports about 800 people at this point now. But that's a small drop in the ocean. And so it's just like, how can we, often what a lot of these communities need is they need capital. You have all the good things, but you actually need money to kickstart more businesses. So that we can get, you know, more good stuff being sold. We're on the backs of those countries, right? We live off the backs of that stuff with our keys and our phone material and whatever else. It's like, how can we kickstart more good stuff that that offers hope to people in those areas impacted by severe poverty, but also, you know, as things that we'd also enjoy buying or whatever else, and have a personal connection to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
So that's Joya. And, you know, like, to be honest, bro, like, a lot of the last year was probably just keeping, because, like, COVID went mental.
It went crazy, eh?
Well, through India, it was just nuts. Yeah. So even in that neighbourhood, bro, there was, like, just, you know, bodies burning because...
Really?
Dying, it's COVID orphans. It's just nuts, bro. It's just full on. So a lot of it was like, how do we keep people employed? Because if they don't keep employed in this down season of sales, they've got no options. So it was about keeping that stable, and now it's back to stable. So I think for us, it's looking ahead and going, what more good can we do? There's some beautiful little stories, man. It's like funny things. Like, for example, you know, we're big on like empowering local leadership.
Yeah.
Always. You know, how can we get more local leadership, more local ownership? But what's the small story? One of the kind of newer areas we're involved in. It's rugged, mate. It's freaking rugged. It's down in the river. And like people basically wash and clean themselves in the river, which is also where they ship, right?
Wow.
It's bad. And so, well, you know, they were offered, like, what would you like to do? It's like, I'd like to build a toilet block. Game changer. You know what I mean? It's things that you don't think are the big issue, but it's a massive game changer. And so, you know, it's stuff like that, mate, that, you know, we just wouldn't even be on my radar, but it's just that changed the game. So we've got all these bits. You've got the business, then you've got that kind of neighbourhood toilet blocky stuff.
Yeah.
And whatever they want. And anyway, I could go on and on, but we've got a short time frame.
Nah.
But it's amazing. Epic. Check out joya.com. Amazing stuff. Yep. And we've got a blog and
beautiful. That's so good. I will, just for yourself and to make you aware and the listeners as well, the show notes for this episode, I'll have all of the links to Joya, the blog, and of course the Common Good shop on there. So if you guys want to learn more, then please hit the links down below, have a little read. Is there a way that if people wanted to, are they able to get involved? Are they able to support Joya? Is there a way that they can give some money, say, or
So I mean, mainly, man, it's a business. So like, if you want t-shirts, fair trade organic t-shirts for your cafe, your offices, whatever, or jumpers or hoodies or whatever, we do it in bulk, but we do that. Cool. I mean, I don't even do aprons for cafes, but it's all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're also going to be doing the Joy Ride, which is, you know, anyway, just follow, just subscribe.
Yeah. And
there's always opportunities. Yeah. But basically, it's like a business. Like, you buy the coffee or buy from Joy. It's making a life-changing difference for a lot of folk.
Makes a massive difference.
We don't want to just be involved in Kolkata. We want to be involved in other places in the future. So
amazing.
We want to scale up.
Yeah, cool. That's very cool. And then also as well, one of the things too, which we will touch on this coffee soon, but one of the things as well for the guys who are listening and also watching some of the videos that will be posted about this, one of the main things you can do to support Joya, I suppose, and also support Common Good in the cafes at the moment, is that every, Paul, am I right in saying this, that every kilo of beans that are sold, $5 will go back to Joya?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so every kilo, $5.
Yeah.
So it's quite, massive. Yeah.
So
$5 every kilo.
That's so cool.
So that's built into our costing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Mate, that's how much Mount Taranaki's killed me. I can't even remember the basics.
Hey, well, look, because I've held this up and because I've shown it. So for those of the listeners and the people watching the videos who aren't aware, this is the new geisha from Mexico, right? That Common Good have released. Yeah. Unfortunately, for those of you that have missed out, you've missed out because it sold out within the space of a week, which was crazy. But yeah, man, I really want to touch on this just for the last section of this episode, because this is a fair trade geisha from Mexico, which is just crazy. Like, I
didn't realize that was even a thing.
Yeah, exactly, right? And there's so many people that I have spoken to, and since I posted a picture up on my Instagram stories, I've had loads of people be like, it's a geisha from Mexico and it's fair trade. I'm like, I know, mind blown. I'm like, crazy. Let us know about it, like how did this coffee come about?
So I mean, you can check the blog on mine as well, but like Luis Herrera, I think his name was. I believe that he was involved with the Coffee Board of Mexico, so he's pretty hardcore. But he's got a little micro lot, where he's been smashing at his coffee, and this is someone he's real proud of and excited about. We source most of our coffee through Trade Aid.
Yeah.
Green beans, so we're really excited with the opportunity to buy a bunch of coffee that one, and it's you know, Vernon's been peeking on it, getting that kind of black currant and whatever notes coming through, but it's quite out there, it's quite different, very very creamy,
is
the kind of the volume. That's probably what stuck out to me, was just the kind of texture of it, but it's a stunning coffee.
But it is
nuts having a geisha from Mexico. It was quite a surprise.
It's nuts, man, because I think because I think the only other company in New Zealand that have done it, and I can never say their name properly, forgive me guys, but Kukako? Yeah.
Kukako.
They had it. And I've got a friend who used to work for them. And then yeah, when I put the picture up on my Instagram stories last week, he was like, bro, I think I've had that before, but we used to have it, or it was something similar. Not sure if it was from the same farm. It potentially could have been.
I wouldn't imagine there'd be too many options.
So, alrighty, Paul. Well, look, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate your time. Appreciate everything that you've shared with us about Common Good, about Joya, about the geisha from Mexico, which is fair trade that you guys have out at the moment. But thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you coming on and everything that you've shared with us, bro.
Sweet, bro. That's so good. Thanks so much for promoting us, bro. And keen to chat in the future. So good.
Yeah, cool. Totally. Good, cheers, bro. So there we go, guys. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Coffee Break. Once again, I just want to say a big thank you to Paul from Common Good Coffee for taking time out to speak with me about Common Good Coffee, Joya, and the ups and downs of being a sales rep during this crazy never-ending season of COVID. As always, I hope that this episode has been entertaining, easy to follow, inspiring, and motivating for you guys. As we are a couple of episodes deep into Coffee Break, I would really appreciate your feedback around these episodes. Are you or are you not enjoying them? Is there any other topics that you would like me to cover? Any piece of feedback that you have is super helpful and allows me to grow the podcast in the way that you as the listeners enjoy. Drop me an email on thedrumminbarista@gmail.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Before you go, make sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so you do not miss out on the next episode of Coffee Break when it lands. Thanks once again, everyone, and I will see all of you beautiful coffee lovers in the next episode.